You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station, and I'm with my co-host, Robert Palmer. This particular show appears on Cox Channel 3, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. This weekend, we have Henry Capono from Hawaii. Wrong island again.
It's the best I can do.
All right. Anyways, it's a great show. He's on for a good half hour. He does a couple of his songs. Really nice, likable, lovable guy with a great heart. And I was going to put a promo out for him that I typed up, but I don't have it with me. So there goes that.
But go to our website.
That's right.
He's featured on our website. You can win a free trip to Hawaii.
Thank you. That's right.
So go on Facebook, go on Radio Caravan, and win a trip to Hawaii for two.
Wonderful. Yeah, Facebook, Radio Caravan, and enter into winning a trip to Hawaii for two. He's got a concert coming up called Back in the Day or something like this, but with a group called Kalapana. And I don't know if you ever knew Kalapana.
I do not.
Great, great musicians from Hawaii as well.
I think I smoked it once, but I don't.
Really?
That's all I vaguely recall.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, listen, you want to do Police Blotter?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Today's Police Blotter.
Laguna Beach, you think you live in a paradise. You're wrong. This is a cesspool of crime. Here are but a few of the samples of the hideous deeds that have gone on in your surroundings. There's like 15 people walking around here. It's exciting. Good morning, Jill. Did we get you up too early? You okay? You all right? Okay. Sorry.
It's me and Robert and four beautiful women. I just love the environment in here.
This is fantastic. And we didn't bring cameras today. What?
I know. I don't know. Is she on, April? There you are. Now you're on.
All right. Okay. So here's a little stupid is stupid times four here. Sunday, July 28th. Arneo Kizio, 54, of Costa Mesa, was arguing with some people, which led him to be arrested for being drunk. He was released and arrested again for public intoxication the next 3 days in a row.
Wow.
That's 4 days in a row. Why don't they just keep him for a couple
days? You mean he was arrested 4 days in a row?
Yes, each time for being drunk. Wow. They let him out. Drunk, let him out. Drunk,
sounds like an alcohol problem to me. I don't want to say anything. I don't know this guy personally.
Why were you looking at me when you said that?
At least during those 4 days.
All right, speaking of stupid drunks, this is the Beavis and Butthead Award. These young boys here, ages 14 to 15, were trying to find a place to drink their beer.
Yes.
When they were noticed by the police trying to find a place to drink their beer.
Yes.
How do you do that?
You know, I don't know. By the way, do you remember when you were underage buying alcohol illegally?
Bill Beachley would always buy us alcohol and drive us around.
And drive you around while you're drinking the
Absolutely.
Beer?
Absolutely. We weren't driving. We were 14. He was the guy with the liquor license.
I got to tell you, I was 20 years old. I was maybe 2 months away from my 21st birthday. And it was my brother was out of town, so I went over to his place. I brought a girlfriend over. And we drove to the liquor store to pick up a six-pack. And I had my other brother's ID. And so I go and I buy the six-pack. I come out, and I see these two guys walking toward me. And sure enough, they're the alcohol beverage control guys.
Ooh, ABC.
ABC. And there's nothing more humiliating than sitting there in front of your car with your girlfriend in the passenger seat as these two guys make you open each can of beer.
No.
And pour it into the trash can. Poosh!
What a waste.
Into the trash can. Poosh! Into the trash can. It was humiliating. Yeah. And I was only like 2 months away from my 21st birthday.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, you know, come on, give me a break. But they didn't.
So, Amy, were you a juvenile delinquent too? Did you
Amy Adams, any alcohol? Fast Magazine.
Designated driver.
Were you really?
Two words. Designated driver.
Where were you when we needed you?
You were always the designated?
Wow. I was at every party.
Really?
Now you know
You were
why.
Very popular.
Is that true, though? You never indulged in your earlier years?
I never really drank until I was...
35. Wow. Never like a glass of wine?
Maybe occasionally, but...
Did that have anything to do with having a child? Is that when you started drinking?
Yes.
I knew it.
Oh, man, I feel so dirty and bad now.
Why? How old were you, Jill?
12. I don't know.
Yeah, you and me, too, girl.
Growing up in the city of Chicago, I think I smoked pot before... Oh, was that okay to say?
No, but you can say
before I had, like, you know, alcohol.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's all right. Yeah, pot's, you know, pot's almost legal these days, right?
I think so. Yeah.
By the way, Jill Harvey, Amy Adams, Amy Adams, Jill Harvey.
Hello.
Hey, Amy.
All right, what else we got?
All right, so we got a little Gilligan Island here. Alexander Lopez was arrested while lighting a bonfire in a cave.
Here in Laguna?
Yeah, right here, down the cove.
Ooh. I think that's some interesting caves.
Crescent Bay Beach. Okay, here's an interesting one. Cat burglar. 1200 block of Cerritos, Monday, July 24th. A resident discovered some missing jewelry valued at $20,000 in a jar holding $40 of coins. She initially did not call it in because she thought her cat may have moved it.
The jar?
How does a cat move a jar filled with coins, let alone $20,000 worth of jewelry? There's a lot of stupid people out there. That's all I got to say. All right, now this one.
But you got $20,000 worth of jewelry, but you're actually going to mention the $40 in the jar?
Yeah, well, it's amazing a cat could move that. How does a cat do that?
Uh-huh.
Cat can't even juggle. How does it even possibly?
That's true.
Doesn't have opposable thumbs. How
does
it open the jar?
That's true.
Okay, now I actually saw this one. This is hazardous condition.
Uh-oh.
417, a tree branch fell down, hitting two cars.
Ooh.
I was coming into town last week, and traffic was backed up forever. And when I got there, there were no less than six police cars and the big van and six police officers standing on the street. To do what? Direct people around a tree.
Yeah.
That was it.
Wow.
That's all they had to do, apparently.
Hmm.
All right. So I got a Craigslist disaster here. So a woman had a roommate that she found on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And when she was out of town, she came back and noticed that her possessions were gone. You ready for this one? Including a claimed $250,000 in cash. Who has that laying around?
Her what were gone? Her physicians?
Physicians?
What did you say? What did you say?
Well, they took her dentist, they took her podiatrist, and her physicians. I have no... Her possessions.
Well, possessions. Possessions. Oh, I thought you said physicians.
Sorry, I had a late night.
And $250,000 in cash.
Can you believe that?
Now, let me ask you a question. What do you think a person is doing with $250,000 in cash laying around the house?
I don't know, but the person that took it bought an airplane ticket that day, and they never found them.
Yeah, that's probably true. $250,000 is a lot of money, don't you think?
Wow. I don't know. Get all of this idiot. This idiot here was arrested for embezzlement. He wrote out a cashier's check on his company's letterhead to himself, cashed it when it came back through. Guess who got caught? How do you think they're not going to notice
that? I have no idea.
I don't know. Finally, pest control. So Western Pest Control was swinging by the house there on Saturday, August 2nd at 300, the 300 block of 956. I don't know what that is. And he found a burglar. So the Western exterminator guy arrested a burglar and called
the
police.
Good for him. Wow, nice.
So we found a pest.
Wow.
So that's our brutal crime report for the
week.
Have
you ever tried to get rid of wasp nests?
Can you say that again?
I can't say that three times for ask. Wasp nests? Has anybody ever tried to get rid of wasp nests?
You mean like a bunch of white people hanging around?
Yeah, exactly. It's horrible. Can't get rid of them.
Get a stick, beat them, they come back.
They will not go.
Spray them down with a hose, they come back.
All right, thanks for the police blotter. April, what about town? Do we have an about town?
Now, your man
nice.
About town.
April is engineering today, by the way. Yeah, very nice. Round of applause. Golf
very,
clap,
very
golf
nicely
clap.
Done. Very nicely done.
All right, so, what's going on?
Couple new things. First of all, we have some really bad movies out. We've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is out.
Okay. Have you seen it?
I know, and I never will. But Mike, they hired Michael Bay production company to do this one. So my guess is a lot of the Turtles blow up.
Ah, nice.
That's kind of all Michael Bay does.
Yeah.
But there are some other movies out there that are a lot better. Guardians of the Universe getting a 90-plus rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Looks very good. Guardians of the Galaxy, pardon
Thank
me.
You.
Thank you.
Katie.
They've already started filming the second one before they made it. It was $150 million on an unknown Marvel characters, and it's doing very, very well. You've also got Lucy is out there. That's Luc Besson's newest movie. He did The Professional years ago with Jean Reno.
So you speak French, right?
Oui, très bon. Fantastique. So, but I wanted to tell you about, if you like comedy, there's a new improv open. You ever go to the improv?
Sure.
Down the spectrum?
Yep.
Well, they just spent millions and millions of dollars and built a brand new one. It's right over by the cinemas. And they've gone from 40 employees to 150 employees. The thing's ginormous. It's very elegant. It's very elegant. We saw Brad Garrett a week ago. And Umami is the restaurant now. So you can get Umami burgers when you're there.
Have you had one?
I have.
Yeah.
And their onion rings are tempura battered.
Yeah, they're delicious.
They're
so
good.
They make their own ketchup as well, right? And they got their own little dipping sauces. Hello?
No need to get nasty dipping sauces.
Dipping sauces. By the way, April, get on the mic for a second here, because April's suggesting we reach out to a comedian. Who was that guy?
Ron White.
You know Ron White?
Of course I know Ron White. He's one of the few comics that has a cigarette and a drink in his hand on stage.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so
he was on the Blue Collar Comedy Tour years ago.
Yeah, so we're going to...
He's coming in the area.
If he's listening. Nice. And when's he coming into the area, do you know?
September, end of September.
He's at the Grove of Anaheim.
Yeah. I'm going. And he's going to come here. We're going to get him on the show.
I like you.
Yeah.
Amy, do you know
he's
Ron
great.
White?
No.
He's funny. He
but I feel like I should. You should. Yeah. Now I'm going to have to Google him.
Google him, yeah.
Go home, check it out.
Tells a story about how he got arrested for public intoxication. It wasn't fair because he was thrown out of the bar against his will, and the police armed drunk in the street.
But that's funny.
He's a funny guy. But speaking of funny, did you know that for this month, every 31st of every month that has a 31st this year, where can you go? 31 flavors, and get an ice cream cone for $1.31.
Wow.
How's that for a frugal tip?
How much are they normally?
I have no idea. Like $3. They're expensive now.
Are they? Okay.
And if you're a fan of the Festival of the Arts, get that annual pass, $23. You can go to any one of the events, any day you want. Absolutely fabulous. Other than the pageant, of course.
Right.
But there's more. Let's look through our paper. Oh, I was heartbroken to learn that I missed Toto the other night.
Toto.
One of my favorite bands of all time. They were up at the Hollywood Bowl. No, they were at the Greek.
Yeah, by the way, Hollywood Bowl is a beautiful facility, don't you think? It's an outdoor facility.
Not
it's
that you would know. You hate outdoor comics.
I hate the ones we have to stand up the entire time in the hot sun drinking a warm beer.
That's why you get a box.
A whole different ambiance there in that case. So.
It is. Speaking of ambiance, who doesn't love Fantasia? Do you like that?
No.
The Pacific Symphony is doing Fantasia with the full movie on the screen, and that's going to be at the Verizon Amphitheater this weekend. And if you want to see a horrible play, you might want to see Ghost. It was a bad movie. It can only be worse as a play, but people apparently like it. It's Saturday and Sunday at the Secrets from Arts.
A little editorial comment there by Robert.
It is. But speaking of lobster, Lobster Fest is this weekend. Did you know that? So Lobster Fest is going on right now at the Newport Dunes. So I would encourage you to hop on over and get a lobster roll.
Yeah, really? At the Newport Dunes?
Do lots of things there. They fly them in fresh from Maine, and it's a big deal every year.
Wow.
Speaking of big deals, Miranda Lambert's going to be here Sunday at the Verizon Amphitheater.
Do you like her?
I'm not a country fan, but I do kind of like her.
What about Keith, what's that guy, Keith Urban? You like that guy?
I kind of do.
Yeah, I think that guy's a very charismatic performer, yeah?
Yeah, and good-looking.
Good-looking, of course, but he's got a lot of personality on stage. And he's just, the way he plays that guitar, you know he loves that instrument. It's amazing.
I like watching him. So, I know you miss Sharknado, too.
Of course. Yeah.
One of the best, did you see that, Amy?
I started watching the first one before the second one, and I couldn't get through the first 30 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
I thought, is this like a remake of Jaws? Because it's horrible.
Is it?
I mean,
Jaws did not fly through the air and eat people and have them saw him in half with a chainsaw.
Well, I heard about it. I heard it was great.
Sharknado was just unbelievably awesome.
Katie says it's called the best worst movie ever.
Yeah. It is. I would say that that's an accurate description. So, you know, Shark Week is what it was based upon. Uh-huh. Has now even started copying them. So they've now got Air Jaws, Fin of Fury, and Shark of Darkness are on this week.
Ooh.
So, kind of shocking, but...
Hey, would you be receptive to having a reality TV show based on you?
No.
Why not?
But my house is on The Real Housewives of Orange County.
Are you supposed to be talking about that?
No, I can't.
Okay.
They already paid me $2,000, so they can't take it back.
Oh, okay. Yes. But you wouldn't be receptive to that idea?
No, I would not in the
Why
least.
Not?
Why would you want that invasion of privacy?
I don't know. Why I mean, for the exposure, you get that brand, that Robert brand out there even further.
No, that would be horrible, and that would be boring, and nobody would watch it.
Yeah. I disagree. I think it would be interesting. But your house is on the, what, no?
It is.
What?
The doctors that are, they're rebuilding their house, and they're living in a rental unit.
Uh-huh.
They're
showing your place as the rental unit?
Yes, because they couldn't film where they actually are.
So. Oh, I got you.
So we had drones flying over our house and all kinds of things. It was very cool.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you go on, what is it, on the opening sequence or something?
I don't know, but I get screenshots from all my friends all the time. So just saw your house on The Real Housewives.
That's funny. All right, well, that's
it. So it's not very real is what I'm saying.
All right. Hey, in the studio, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, Miss Jill Harvey, our healthy lifestyle coach.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling me out on being tardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we appreciate that.
We had to do it. We call Robert out when he's late.
Absolutely.
So.
I'm never late.
That's true. You've never been late for the actual show.
That's what counts.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So
Jill, Amy, Jill.
No,
hey, we met. Yeah, nice to meet you again.
Now that I know we can be late.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I didn't know there was actually a... You know, now I know.
Yeah, you get fined. Yeah. We take it out of your paycheck.
Oh, well, have fun.
What's that song? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we got going on today? Healthy lifestyle tips.
So we're going to talk about protein.
Ooh. Nice.
What are the benefits of protein? Why do we need it?
Muscle. Strength.
Muscle building.
Right. So, yeah. So protein is all about growth and repair and maintenance. And do you know that the word protein means of prime importance from the Greek word, I don't know I'm going to pronounce this right, proteos? Proteos, of prime importance. So, you know, protein is very important. It's essential. It is needed. It's in every cell of our body that's alive. It's in most of our body fluids. It's vital for skin and hair and nails and muscle and bones and organs and blood. And even our hormones have protein in them as well. So we need these to transport oxygen and minerals and iron and fat. And it's also important for clotting of the blood. Did we know this?
I did not know that. Okay.
No. In what way?
April knew that.
Well, it's a matter of when you have it in your blood, you're getting that, when it's not there, when it's moving not rapidly through, it's going to not clot as well.
Right.
So the protein helps clot as well as vitamin K.
Huh.
So does a hemophiliac have a lack of protein in their blood?
You know, that's a good question.
I wonder. That's a good question. I think it has a lot to do with their ability to absorb vitamin K as well. Not quite, you know, certain on that, but we could do a show on that.
We should.
We could.
Yeah, we could. Good. So, but when a diet is too low in carbs and fat, then protein is taken from the blood, that's pulling around in the bloodstream. This happens a lot with dieters then. What happens when the protein is too low, they're using their muscle tissue, or the carbohydrates are too low. When those are too low and your fat is too low and you're on a high-protein diet, you're going to be essentially building muscle, they think, but when you have too low of carbs and too low of fat, you're also going to pull from the muscle tissue for energy, because carbs and fat are a lot to do with energy. They have a lot of energy-giving fuel in them. And when they aren't available, it's going to go to your muscle tissue. So you see a lot of dieters start losing lean muscle. So they think they're losing weight, but they're losing lean muscle and
water.
Oh,
that's not good.
Not good.
Why do bodybuilders go on these high-protein diets then?
Well, again, so here's the thing. You know,
it's supplemented with steroids, probably.
most likely. But it is definitely needed for growth. So there's a big controversy of what we need and how much we need, how many grams we need, which we'll get to in a little bit. But in the protein we know is the building blocks. But the building blocks of protein are amino acids. And we have 20 to 22 of them. And we have 8 to 9 that are essential. And I say 8 to 9 because the ninth one is really essential for pregnant women and children. So we don't need it, but essential means that we need to get it from our food. It's not being made in our body. But then we have 11 to 12 that are non-essential. The body manufactures those. So we do need to get the essential ones from our food. So these amino acids, they're linked in chains. If you go back to chemistry, there's these, you know, chemical chain links, and they have a carbon backbone. But these amino acids can appear in so many forms and link, and they can reappear. So for instance, the hormone insulin contains 51 amino acids.
Hmm.
So, you know, when we look, we have 22, but they can be numerous in what they need to do as their job. Then when we look at myosin, it's a protein of muscle. It has 4,500 amino acids in its chain. Hmm. So that's a huge thing. But now we get to, you know, complete proteins, incomplete proteins. So complete protein has all the essential amino acids that we require to eat. Incomplete do not. They're missing one or more. So you look at complete proteins as eggs and fish and meat and, you know, other kind of poultry. We want to be careful of the meat that's high in saturated fat. And I know there's a lot of controversy on the saturated fat again. But with saturated fat, you know, they're saying, okay, eat the egg yolk. But with meat products, if you're eating big steak every week, it has shown to increase the incidence of colon cancer. So we really want.
You mean once a week?
Yeah, if you're eating more, you want to eat it maybe a small portion, if once a week. Robert, you're looking at
you
me.
You gesticulated
funny.
To your shoulder when you said colon cancer.
I was trying to figure out
the.
That's not where the colon is. I had a little itch there. Yeah.
I was a little confused.
Yeah, the colon's a little lower. You just
keep going.
Yeah, I'll stand up. So
I used to date an incomplete protein.
You
do you remember her?
I've heard about her.
Yeah, she was.
That was bad.
Really bad.
That was bad. So an incomplete protein.
She didn't have a colon. It was very awkward.
Oh, that's nasty.
Really awkward.
Oh, I don't. Okay. Ooh. So incomplete.
Big girl.
I don't know where this stuff comes from. I think it. I don't know if it's fueled by the previous night's activities or what.
It's Robert. It's Robert and Robert's world.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's a good place to be.
That's what we should call the show. Robert's world.
Planet I live on.
So then we have. So your incomplete proteins. You're going to find they'll talk about vegetarians not having that.
Right.
Which is true. So a lot of your plant-based proteins are not complete in the essential needs of the amino acids. But then you can combine. You can combine, like, pita and hummus is going to make a complete protein. Rice and beans is going to make a complete protein.
How about some chia?
Some chia has protein. Again, it's not complete. But I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. But we're finding that, you know, we don't need to have the essential in every meal. You know, the body knows how to store it and manufacture it and work with it. So we get back to, you know, how much do we need? Well, the good old RDA, recommended daily allowance by the Food and Nutrition Board of National Academy, says 0.80 grams per kilo of body weight.
What does that tell me?
So you take your body weight.
That's a lot for you, pal.
Well, let's see. So to get your kilograms.
Robert's on rare form here.
He is. To get your kilograms in body weight, you take your body weight and divide it by 2.2. And that would be how much they would recommend that you have daily in protein.
So you take your body weight, 2.2, and then divide by 2.2, then times 0.08?
Then times 100.
Times 100.
No, I'm kidding. No. Just body weight divided by...
Okay. I wonder if people are actually figuring this out on their calculator right now.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Just take your
what does
body
it look like? Give me a portion size that... I mean, if I wanted to eat a piece of steak...
Mm-hmm.
What's that point, whatever it is? What's that going to look like? What size?
Well, that's out of your daily caloric intake.
So
you have to calculate. You know, if you're I don't do calculation of calories daily with my clients.
Uh-huh.
We go on based on hunger and portion size.
Okay.
So again, when we go back to that portion control show we did,
right.
It's the palm of your hand.
Okay.
The thickness in palm of your hand minus the fingers.
So a steak about the size of the palm of my hand minus the fingers and the thumb.
Yeah.
A petite fillet,
and we all have
about 6-8 ounce petite fillet.
Yeah,
like.
So we all have different needs.
Yeah.
But this is where the controversy comes in. So you do have, like, the World Health Organization and all these organizations do stay with that, and they say you want 10 to 15% of protein daily, right, of your caloric intake. I tend to lean toward 15 to 25%. You know, you have to listen to your body. What are your needs? I feel better. I'm more protein. But then here's where that comes in. I'm very active. I teach a lot of classes. I train a lot of clients. So back to the bodybuilder statement. They are really working their muscles. When you're building muscle, you're breaking down muscle as well in the initial stage.
Right.
So you do need that. So I would say listen to your body. They can go up to 1 gram. We have some bodybuilders on 1.5, 2 grams per.
Huh?
So it's, again, listen to your body, play with it. But we want to make a note here that too much protein can be taxing on the kidneys. So if anybody has kidney issues, let's, like, check with your doctor always.
Do they recommend you drink a lot of water?
A lot of water.
Okay, yeah, that's to help flush out, I guess, the extra protein or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you been in a gym and seen a guy drop to the floor and curl up in the fetal position?
That would be me.
The kidney stone, or just from not working out.
Just the pain of it.
The pain of it,
Start crying.
But passing that kidney stone.
Oh.
So there's a linkage to that, to high protein with that as well. But, you know, protein is wonderful in a sense of it is a slow to digest. The enzyme that's needed to digest protein, protease, and pepsin, they start in your stomach. So protein is very satiating. It fills you, and it's slow to release from the stomach into the intestines. So the slower you digest something...
Did you hear what I heard?
The word satiated, we were talking about that earlier.
She could be sated after you've eaten.
Oh,
no, she said satiated.
I know it, but we just learned this morning.
We just learned
sated
it from Katie,
is the proper past tense from Katie.
So, sated, you will
and
be
we
sated.
Were going to play a game to try and work that word into a conversation.
And it came out naturally.
And you did it. And you weren't even here. That's amazing.
Did I win anything today?
Well, like if this were the Groucho Marx show, a little bird would come jumping down right now, and you'd win $250. But
excellent. I'll take it.
Okay.
So for it to be... Thank you very much, April. She just gave me a little screen button. So... Yes, I won that.
Nice.
So the slower something moves through your system, you're not going to have a spike in your blood sugar, which is really important. So breakfast is great to have a lot of protein. People who have the bagel, cream cheese, and a cup of coffee, you're doomed.
Yeah.
Really?
You're doomed. You're going to and then drop down. Raise up, drop down. But we have, you know, mix it up with plant-based proteins. You know, go ahead and try and find some quinoa or buckwheat or what I love are the legumes
and the
beans.
Where do you find buckwheat?
Same
if you walked in the store
quinoa.
And said, I'd like an order of buckwheat to go.
Yeah.
Buckwheat pancakes.
Buckwheat pancakes are fantastic.
You like those? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about scones? I had a scone this morning. Bad,
bad idea?
No, yeah,
bad.
April?
Butter
told
you. Yeah, I thought you were looking a little low. You're about to drop. Yeah, you're just about to
chuck it down.
Robert, he's draining my energy this morning.
Chuck it down with a Mountain Dew or something.
Oh, God.
But then spirulina. You know, spirulina is great. It's 60 to 70%
protein. I had that once.
Once.
You just get a couple shots of penicillin, spirulina's gone. Oh, you're not talking about that? Oh,
not that one. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad... Oh, Robert... Ooh.
Telling stories again. All right, Gil, what else?
I don't know. I think that's it, but I just want to say everything in moderation. Listen to your body.
Good
protein
call.
Is essential. If you're losing your hair and your nails are brittle, probably low on protein.
Why are you looking at me?
Are you about to do an armpit fart right there?
No,
what are you
not
doing?
At all. But you were commenting on losing hair. I was feeling a little subconscious.
I have a question for you.
Yes. Amy.
What do you think about protein in like smoothies and things like
that?
Yeah,
I like
that
question.
Like
I like it.
Controversy whether or not that's actually good for you because.
Yeah.
How it's processed.
Right, exactly.
I know there's all different variations you can find, like at Whole Foods and things that say, you know, gluten-free and natural and whatnot. But what do you think? I mean, what's your take?
I think you have to be careful. I love whey protein, but you have to be careful. Pea protein. Pea protein is very popular, but they're finding where it's sourced from. It's contaminated with lead. A lot of them have been pulled off the market.
Well,
but the
good.
Protein, like whey, you want to make sure it's from cows that are not fed hormones, that are grass-fed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's called cold processing. You want it not heated. So you really want it processed properly. But like this morning for my breakfast, I had whey protein with almond milk and some greens. I threw
of
in a pack
you
of
did.
Mixed greens. Yeah.
Most of us had
some. Sounds just
coffee.
Like my breakfast. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you do. You want to watch your protein for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Amy, you know, it's nice to have an editor-in-chief in the room asking those pointed questions when we're just over here doing nothing.
Doing what
but,
we do.
Yeah.
Arm
nice
farts.
Question. Yeah, arm farts.
Very good. So what is pea protein?
It's from peas. It's a process. They're finding peas, like legumes and different things, have protein. So that, like rice protein, they're manufacturing it. It is great. There are some great companies out there now, but you have to be very careful. So if anything, always know your source. Know where it's coming from. You can always email the company.
All right, Miss Jill, thank you so much, young lady. Great job. I should mention, by the way, yesterday we were down in Newport Beach at Dr. John Laura's office, and we actually filmed a stem cell therapy session where they sort of liposuctioned out fat out of Dr. Lester Lee, who was in the show a couple weeks ago, out of his abdominal area, and they ran it through this machine, and out they had sort of extracted the stem cells that they then injected into his body, including his face, right? And April was working one of the cameras on that, April.
I was, yeah.
What was that, watching that, what was that like?
That was really interesting.
It was?
It was interesting watching it, yeah.
Painful, interesting,
like
or?
He was awake.
It didn't seem painful to him at all, actually.
Wow.
I mean, he was awake. Yeah, I think they gave him something, obviously, to numb the pain, but he was having a conversation with them, asking what they were doing, and it was interesting to watch. It really was.
We've got Dr. Lester Lee coming in. We've got a UCI professor who's an expert on stem cell. We've got John Morris coming in, who's launching a new wellness center that's going to offer stem cell therapy here in Orange County, and from all indications, and Jill, you've spoke to this before as well, it seems to really work.
Yeah.
And if you're pulling from your body and re-injecting stuff from your body, the stem cells, back into your body, you're okay with that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's your own body. It's less chance of rejection.
Yeah.
Stem cells' major job is to replicate.
Right.
So my only concern, which I'd love to ask again when you're in the studio, is that, you know, what if there's something in your body that isn't good? Is it going to replicate that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, potential cancer.
Yeah. But and they had that discussion, and they're concerned about what the FDA is going to approve and not approve and all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
But I'm sure they do proper screening.
Of course.
And you're signing, you know, things. But I have seen, there's a woman I know, I think we mentioned that she's 70, and she looks like she's 45, 50. She looks fantastic.
Amy, are you familiar with sort of the stem cell therapy process? Or?
No, I'm not. I mean, I have heard it's amazing that it's actually going to be here locally because I know I have several friends who've actually left the country and paid, you know, top dollar
that's what
for
used to have
stem
to do.
Cell.
That's right.
And that, and they look like, you know, miracles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't. Other than that, I really don't know much about it.
Good. Well, hopefully you're here that week as well. And, you know, we'll have that discussion. All right. Thank you very much, Jill. Thank you. Yeah, round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, Robert, why don't we do... I've been looking forward to your Legends of Rock this morning. And so,
Legends of Rock.
Today we're going to talk about the boys from Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not talking about David Wilhelm, although he is from Flint, Michigan, and went to school with these boys.
Uh-huh.
This would be Mark, Don, and Mel. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, perhaps the greatest power trio of all time, other than perhaps Cream.
I would agree.
So, long ago and far away in Flint, Michigan, in 1969, Mark Farner picked up his guitar, Don Brewer banged out some drums, and the amazing Mel Shiner played bass. Mark, Don, and Mel formed the legendary rock group
Grand Funk Railroad.
Now, you may not know this, but they first started off at the 1969 Atlanta Pop Festival and were immediately signed by Capitol Records. They actually based themselves on Cream, and Terry Knight came on board as their producer. Their first album, On Time, came out and unbelievably sold over 1 million copies. You ready to hear this next song?
Well, play it loud, April.
Are you ready? Their first hit, 1969. And if you listen, they sounded almost like a garage band back then. We'll hear them evolve over time.
All right.
Are you ready? You can
like
trust me all the way.
Listen to Mark.
He's on guitar.
Are
Mark's
you
on
ready?
Guitar. Mel on bass.
Don's on drums. Mel's on bass.
Well, then let me hear you say.
If you ever saw them live, they're just amazing to this day.
Well, they don't play as Grand Funk Railroad anymore, do they?
No, just Grand Funk.
Huh?
Just Grand Funk now.
All three of these guys?
No.
Oh.
I'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
Mark goes on to be a Christian
rocker.
Don't
yell at me on air like that.
All right. So, they then came out with the Red album, and shortly after that, followed up with Closer to Home. The band, out of their own pocket, actually spent $100,000 to put up a big ad in Times Square. And out of that album came my favorite Grand Funk song probably of all time, I'm Your Captain.
Love this song. Play it louder, louder, April. And by the way, who was playing this earlier on guitar? Do you remember?
That was you trying to play.
No, hey. I can even do this bass. Wawa pedal. Remember those?
Here comes Don.
One chord, the whole song.
I've been lost now.
Why can play?
It's that bass. The bass and the drums.
It's that three guys. That's it. Almost no overdubs. Amazing.
Harmonies, too.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Or am I all alone?
Air guitar,
if you
Robert.
Return me.
All right, so they had another hit off that album as well. Very different kind of sound, a little heartbreaking. We're going to pick it up about 60 seconds in because the song's 4.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
A little heartbreaker.
When memories you call.
Very bluesy, very folksy.
I just can't live without her.
Little trivia, 1970. 1970, which band sold more albums than any other band in America?
Let me guess. Grand Funk Railroad.
Very good. Hey. Name the only band to sell out Shea Stadium faster than the Beatles.
Let me guess. Grand Funk Railroad.
1972, very good. Ooh. So, we move forward in time with our boys here. They get a little sick of their manager, Knight. His managerial style is a little bit oppressive, so they throw him out of his role. He, in turn, sues them. And actually, before opening one night at Madison Square Garden, he got an attachment and took all their equipment before the show. Must have been an odd concert, but somehow the show did go on indeed.
That's funny.
So when they lost him, they thought they'd bring somebody new in. Guess who they tried to hire? one Peter Frampton.
Really? As producer?
As a band member.
As a band member? I never knew that.
Peter couldn't come. You know why? He made a commitment to do a solo album.
Oh, wow. Live?
Later turned into Frampton Live many years later, but most successful live album of all time.
Yeah.
So they then started shifting a bit, and they got a new producer. Todd Rundgren.
Really?
Produced the following two hits for them, their biggest hits ever. And the first one would be, hopefully, "We're an American Band, Baby." By the way, the best line of any song ever written, "Met some Chiquitas in Omaha." It's in the middle of this song.
So what are Chiquitas?
Chicks, I think, yeah.
Gotta know this song, Amy. Jill?
You hear more cowbell. More cowbell.
More cowbell.
More cowbell. Hear more cowbell.
He's singing, but I like what he's singing. Paul Settle. Robert Palmer. We're coming to your town.
We'll help you party it down. We're an American band. All right, but Todd Rundgren produced another hit. Personally, not my favorite, but a lot of people love this song. Time for a little Locomotion.
That's a good song.
That song's so good, that's some foot stomping music right there, what that is. So that was their next hit. We'll now hear a little bit of foot stomping music. Look at that. Just reeks power trio. Here comes the keyboard right here. Of course, the B3.
You love saying the B3.
That's what he's using. He's got it fully cranked up.
No, but you're a big fan of the B3.
The greatest organ ever made.
Really?
The only organ ever made.
Do you play it?
Yeah.
Are you any good at it?
Great.
Are you?
We carried one on the road for 3 years. That's a big, heavy thing.
Really? Is one of those kind of the round ones? And what's a B3?
Wood. Giant.
It has
keyboards.
All the synthesizers?
You're thinking of the Leslie behind it spinning around. You always play through a Leslie speaker. Okay, here we go. Grandfather.
Come on, April. You know this song. Sing it for us.
All right, and they actually had a couple other hits off this album, including one I give you some good advice for, "Walk Like a Man." Because that dude looked like a lady to me.
By the way, we have Amy Adams we're going to be talking to from Bask Magazine shortly. So you want to
stay tuned. EIC, if you will.
What did you say?
Editor-in-Chief, EIC.
Oh.
I was in the EIC of my humble little law review. Not quite Bass Magazine. Horrible stuff to edit. Go, Mark, go. And then Don Brewer penned this number 11 hit that came out, "Shining On."
Didn't Mark Farner write most of the songs, though?
Actually, Don wrote a lot of them.
Is that true?
Yeah, a lot of them wrote a lot.
I thought it was like Creedence. The only one who really wrote songs in Creedence was John Fogerty. What are we doing there? What's going on?
My list is a mature list, but that's okay, because we can go. We're professionals here. So, oddly enough, did you know that after this, guess who they hired for their producer?
Don't tell me. Peter Frampton.
Frank Zappa.
Wow.
Complete disaster. Complete disaster.
Did they have any hits from that collaboration?
No. That was an absolute disaster. But then they got Jimmy Einer, and Jimmy Einer came up with two hits on the next one, including Some Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind.
The sheer simplicity of their music is what makes it.
I don't need a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
A big fine car. I got everything that a man could want. I got more than I could ask for. I don't have to run around. I don't have to stay out all night. Cause I got me a sweet.
So about around this time, they're coming out with one last song before Mark Farner leads them. And what better name for it than Bad Time? It was a bad time for Mark to leave, and they've never been the same.
Yeah.
But this is their last hit with Mark Farner.
Yeah, I was okay with this song.
They subsequently picked up the lead singer from 38 Special, and that's who they tour with to this day. Indeed, they reunited in 1997, played for 250,000 people in a dozen or so shows.
Yeah.
And their most famous show, they played a live concert in Bosnia with a symphony and none other than Paul Schaefer.
Wow.
Was the conductor of that entire orchestra.
That'd be fun to see.
Their greatest claim to fame, however, was they were on The Simpsons once, where Homer Simpson once asked his kids if they liked Grand Funk. And they said, who? And Homer's quote was, you kids don't know Grand Funk. The wild lyrics of Mark Farner, the bong-rattling bass of Mel Shaver, and a competent drum work of Don Brewer? Oh, my God, how do you not know that?
How funny.
Don later said that was his proudest accomplishment in life, was to be named on The Simpsons. They went on to have 19 singles on the hits, 8 top 40 songs, 13 gold albums, 10 platinum albums, sold over 250 million albums worldwide, 25 million albums. And, in my opinion, the greatest power band in the history of the world, other than possibly Grand. Ladies and gentlemen, Grand.
Keep playing that a little bit longer, April, if you can. You know, Mark Farner was in Orange County here about a month ago for the fairgrounds. He was doing a traveling with, who was the other artist? I remember we reached out to Mark Farner and there's somebody else. No. In any event, what's he doing now? He's like a Christian musician.
He's a Christian rocker.
He's a Christian rocker now.
Yes, indeed.
I wonder if those band members actually ended up making money during those years, or if management and all that other crew took.
They're rewarded later in life for being a Christian rocker.
Love Grand Funk Railroad. Good call today, Rob. It's always a joy listening to your Legends of Rock. Sometimes they go on and on and on.
When do they not?
But thank you very much. Nice job. Hey, golf clap. Golf clap for Robert.
Back Saturday.
All right, now to the star of the show.
Miss Amy Adams.
Oh, my.
Editor-in-chief of Basque, B-A-S-K, magazine. Correct?
Bask in life. In the things you do.
Well, I mean, that's sort of, what's the slogan? I mean, there's a slogan or a logo up there. It says,
well, that's the Basque that we intention, that we meant. We want you to bask in life.
Great.
But our motto is sort of luxury and balance.
Luxury and balance. So,
because you never want too much luxury.
Well, it's kind of hard not to get too much around here, but that's not to omit the things that are not really outrageously expensive.
Right.
They can still be quality and luxurious in their own way.
Yeah, I like that. How did the magazine start, and how long has it been around, and can you take us back a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah.
We are going to be celebrating our 4-year anniversary. I want to say this October.
Okay.
And it got started with, Paula Wilhelm, one of the co-founders of Surtair, and Jolie Adams, who started Riviera. The two of them decided they wanted to put together a magazine.
And that's where it launched.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
And it's been great 4 years. So it's a really good partnership to have the real estate perspective. And then all of the history that Jolie has in publishing.
So kind of walk us through the collaboration process there between real estate and your magazine. How does that sort of relationship work?
You know what? It's great for me. it's been a really wonderful experience because, obviously, Surtair, I don't know exactly how many offices they have now, but...
You want to define them for people who may not know?
Surterra is the luxury, real estate firm in Southern Orange County.
Mm-hmm. They have an office right here in Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dana they may Point, have a couple of them. A
couple in Newport,
yes.
Out in the foothills, Irvine.
And they sell homes in the multi-million dollar range. Is that fair?
Well, yes. I mean, I think they sell a lot of homes mm-hmm. of any price range. Mm-hmm. But in this area in particular, there's probably a lot of, multi-million dollar properties. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's been a great partnership because at some point, it's recently, I decided to feature a lot more home interiors. Mm-hmm. And for example, I've been able to utilize some of their properties, some of these beautiful properties in our publication. We've also had parties in some of their listings, some of their more elaborate estates that can house, hundreds of people, which is kind of hard to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we've had intimate dinners at some of their properties that are, right on the ocean. It's just been a great partnership.
Is it a way to showcase the properties as well, do you think?
It is, I'm sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's definitely brand exposure, mm-hmm. Exposure for the listing agent. We're doing a photo shoot actually on Monday in one of their beautiful properties out in Tribuco Canyon. It's sort of like a cabin in the woods, but, I'm not sure how frequently you're going to get people out there, but by having it on our pages, with 30,000 distribution, it's just added exposure for that property. And yes, I think it's probably a win-win.
Yeah.
And
maybe then, get some bikers from Cook's Canyon coming down.
Yeah, we're
going to
round
Cook's
up
Corner. Traffic, yes,
after the fashion shoot about 8 o'clock.
Exactly.
That's funny.
We'll meet you
so,
out there.
Yeah, so it's been really nice.
Yeah.
And we're really fortunate to have that connection. And I think it's works both ways. So it's great.
You said distribution 30,000.
That's correct.
And you have both print and online. You want to describe a little bit about how that works?
Sure. Well, we're online. We have our magazine is published through issue.com, and that's issuu.com. Mm-hmm. And we have actually near 30,000 impressions on that site. We also produce a monthly iPad edition. Which is sort of similar to the print, but a lot of articles that don't make it into print will also be in the iPad. And then we come out quarterly in print. So mm-hmm. We're doing a lot.
It's a good-looking magazine, right?
Thank you. I think so. I think it looks beautiful, mm-hmm. so I'm really happy with it.
And a high-quality publication. I mean, you don't skimp on the production value of the print version of it.
No, we really want to maintain like a very quality feel. We mm-hmm. want we want to keep all of our advertisers happy. They obviously like the nicer paper, and we do the best that we can mm-hmm. to accommodate that. Paper prices change, and there's a lot of boring information right. there that goes with that. So we always have to be aware of that and do the best that we can to provide mm-hmm. top notch for our look and for our advertisers.
Yeah. So how do you attract so many top notch writers and contributors? How do you get all that talent?
And Robert's saying that because why?
It's so funny because I think a lot of writers, they just want to be published right. and they're just grateful to have the platform. But, I go home at night and I think to myself, God, I am so fortunate to have such great writers. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I got so lucky, but I did. And I feel really fortunate. Most of my writers are professionals within the industry that they write about. And I try to do that so that they, there's a real authentic feel to the article.
Mm-hmm. That's why and some are lawyers who get bored.
And Robert's a writer of yours?
Well, he is, but he's also, really familiar with the arts and mm-hmm. very much a part of that world. And mm-hmm. so he's a perfect writer for mm-hmm. that.
How are his skills at hitting a deadline?
Ironically, he's almost spot on. I told him he's usually about a week late, but that's his
grace period. But she knows it'll be there. She gives me a fake date.
I never really worry about Robert.
Uh-huh.
But what's that saying? Give a busy person something to do if you want it done.
Right.
So yeah, it's.
So what's the editorial then content? How would you describe what sort of features or editorial articles are in the publication?
Well, I try to do a little bit of everything. I try to hit every aspect, so I'm mm-hmm. reaching the interest of many people. It's sort of a lifestyle publication would be sort of the broad spectrum. But, we have fashion, we have home, we have real estate, We have a wellness section. So, you know, we try to reach every little niche I possibly can within the pages I have to work mm-hmm. with. So, yeah.
Where would somebody go to, if they wanted to kind of test the waters with your publication, if they wanted to look through it, if they wanted to read Robert's articles or look at some of the ads, where would they go?
Probably the best place to go would be online. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read a lot of publications online now. It's just kind of hard to get them everywhere. But, you know, there stands throughout some of the Fashion Island, Southwest Plaza, throughout Laguna Beach. Order a subscription, but really the best place is just to go online.
Yeah. Robert, how long have you been actually writing for the magazine?
Since it started.
Since it started. And why? Why did you decide to sort of I mean, you're a busy guy. You could be doing a lot of different things. What was it that was interesting for you?
I wanted to write a column called Pepe Gonzalez, Man About Town. Paula Wilhelm would not let me call myself Pepe Gonzalez. So
why did you want to do that, by the way?
I just thought that was funny. I don't know why. It just always cracked me up. It just seemed like a funny title, you know? For a Swedish guy to be calling himself Pepe Gonzalez is kind of funny. So we do calendar. We do the calendar section, which is all the events that are ongoing. That evolved from Pepe Gonzalez, Mad About Town, into what's called calendar, very creatively. Yeah.
Well, it's primarily an arts calendar, really. I like to keep it, you know, a lot about the arts because we have scene pages that we include, you know, a lot of our social events and charity events and things like that. So I really like to specifically keep it to all that great happenings, and Robert kind of covers everything.
It's a fun way to stay kind of in touch with what's going on, and then Amy will ask me to write articles, or I'll write articles on travel or leisure or Sigurdsson charity. Their charity work and their outreach is our new article that's coming out in the fall. So it's really fun. You do a lot of research, you meet a lot of interesting people. We're doing Kinky Boots in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
I'm talking to the star of Kinky Boots on Monday. We'll be doing an article about him. And hopefully we might get some of the cast in here on the show.
This is the one we're doing naked? There was one show coming up we're all doing naked.
That's hair.
Oh, hair. That was hair. Okay. Yeah.
This one has boots.
He said everybody could be naked but me. That's what he said.
So does your wife.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. What are you high-fiving him for?
I like the naked thing. I don't know.
This is a radio show. We are actually all naked right now, except for Scott.
There you go. The charity stuff, you sort of cover the charity events, the social calendar of Orange County?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of charity events in town.
Yeah.
It's hard to cover everything, but it is a great way. I go to almost all the events, but mm-hmm. I can usually only cover half of them.
Right.
The one coming up that's just kind of the hot one of the summer is the Ocean Sea Change Summer Party. Mm-hmm. I think it's on the 16th. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be there. So it's all the rage right now.
Are you going to that one?
I'm going
to
that.
You bet she is. Yeah.
Are you looking to kind of shoulder up to Leo?
I'm hoping to get a few pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And what's the event exactly? What's its purpose?
Well, you know, they're oceans. They're trying to, you know, raise money to help protect the ocean and preserve the clean water. And
he's big on that. Leo's big on that.
Apparently he is.
Yeah.
He'll be there. So
we do a book in one of my English classes called Oceans, I think it is, and he actually contributed one of the essays to that publication.
Did he write it?
Yeah, he did. It's a really short, very simple sort of written essay, but that's sort of how I knew he was sort of into that environmental.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, I would hope so, since he's going to be at the event.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think, and I don't know specifically, but it obviously goes toward a number of charities, the money they raise. So it's a great cause.
Yeah, that sounds nice. We're going to talk later, I think, about maybe you contributing some feature, some content to the radio show, yes?
Sure.
You're going to feel comfortable. I'm putting you on the spot here. You know that.
Uh-oh.
I'm getting your commitment publicly.
Let's negotiate her fee on
the
air, too.
We'll give you the same salary we give Jill. How's that?
Which is double what I get.
Yeah.
All right, Amy, thank you for coming in today. Very kind of you.
Thank you for having me. It's my
pleasure. And we're going to see you hopefully next week and the weeks after that as well.
I believe so.
Whenever you can. That would be wonderful.
Hey, April, you remember that CD I gave you beforehand? I want to talk briefly about this guy. I was going to mention him earlier. I went on a cruise, and I took ukulele lessons, and we were on stage in front of the entire cruise ship playing our ukuleles, Tiny Bubble. And my two bandmates were from Scotland. And I don't know if you've spent much time with two guys from Scotland on the alcohol, yeah. But you can't understand a word they say. It's amazing. It's just like, you know, you kind of have to kind of shake your head yes, and when they laugh and look serious when they look serious. But I had such a great time with these guys. For 2 weeks, we did nothing but play ukuleles and, you know, hang out and stuff. In any event, I know they listened to the show, and they sent me this guy that they wanted us to play on air. And I will revisit this another week in the future.
Is it Jake?
Jake?
The greatest ukulele player
on
the planet.
No, it's not an ukulele guy. Oh, that guy is good, though, yeah.
He's amazing.
That guy's great.
Ishiwako.
Yeah. So his name is J.J. Gilmore, and he's friends of my Scottish friends, David and Alex. He's a Scottish singer-songwriter. He sold over, last album or something like this, sold over 500,000 copies. He lives in Ireland now. He's got a new third album out called Slocomotion. And if you're interested in this guy, and we're going to go out with his song, April, but if you're interested in this guy from based on what you hear, www.jjgilmour.com. jjgilmour.com. So this goes out to my buds from Scotland, my Scottish friends, David and Alex. J.J. Gilmore, this is a track off one of his albums, and that'll carry us out of here. I'm Scott Hayes, Robert Palmer.
That's it.
Radio Caravan, April. Let's hear J.J. Gilmore.
Thank you for coming.
I got the call that morning as day was dawning, wiping sleep out of my eyes. She said, hey, I got some real bad news for you. Was like a bullet racing through my heart, space in every part, breaking it in two. I said, hey there, Brenda, let me get back to you. And I just sat down without a sound, I wonder why. Then get up and wandered to another room. Couldn't tell you then if a new sank in, but I began to. Oh my, the day we kissed the summer goodbye.
You've been listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.